Genesis tonight. Started my Bible over, reading, and pretty fruitful first couple of days. So, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. Going to kind of have both these chapters, next couple of chapters, kind of in review tonight. Just going to read a couple of pages, no, a couple of verses for you. Genesis 18, 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, this is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord. All right. Let's go to Genesis 19 just for a second. And notice, in this case, verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, come back to real familiar stuff here. Pray that you might prick our hearts and open our eyes personally, all of us, to something we, Father, can always improve upon. And, Lord, we should aspire to know Thee in the way that one of these men did. I pray, Father, You'd help us in these things. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't see angels. We don't have folks show up that are the Lord at our doorsteps. We walk by faith and not by sight, and we're privileged to do that. We do pray, Lord, You'd give us a clear, pure vision of what we're supposed to be, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, Genesis 18. You've got Abraham sitting on the plains of Mamre in the tent door. You know the story how, verse 2, three men. Now, those three men turns out to be, verse 3, the Lord, right? Only JWs have trouble with this. It's a representative of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Shows up as three guys, correct? And so they talk for a while. Abraham goes and slays a calf, sets meat before the Lord. They sit in Abraham's tent and talk face to face. And they discuss family a little bit and the baby soon to come with Sarai. And Sarah, of course, laughed. And oh, I didn't laugh. Well, you did too. And that all happened. And then the Lord says, look, and he's debating within himself down in verse 17. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He's debating amongst himself, if that's the right grammar, amongst himself. The Trinity is debating amongst itself whether he should reveal to Abraham what's going to happen. Turns out, he says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Well, Abraham immediately thinks, bing, Lot, right? He says, well, what happens if you find 50 righteous, and they go from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. And the Lord said, after all the dickering, He said, if I find 10 righteous men in Sodom, I won't destroy it. Right? And that pretty much ends it, except for verse 33. The Lord went His way as soon as He had left communing with Abraham. So He was communing with Abraham, even dickering about numbers is communing with the Lord. And Abraham returned unto his place. Then you go into chapter 19. Now, I've always found as a curiosity, I don't have definitive answers for it, but I believe that the three guys that showed up at Abraham's tent door, it sounds to me like two of the guys walked off and that one stayed back and Abraham talked some more. And then those two guys in 19:1 show up once again at Lot's door in Sodom. I don't know what happened to the third guy. I'm not sure why he didn't rejoin. I believe this was the Lord too. Let me just show you that real quick. Look in chapter 19, verse 13. The two men, the two angels, the appearance of God as two this time instead of three. Verse 13, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. The Lord hath sent us to destroy it. So he said, we're going to destroy it. Chapter 19, verse 18. Lot said unto them, those two, oh, not so, my Lord. He's calling those two his Lord, just like Abraham called the three his Lord. Now, all I'm saying here is that I've preached all kinds of stuff out of these two chapters, and somehow it just never dawned on me before reading through this time that, you know, here is Abraham sitting on his tent door in Mamre. Three guys show up. It's the Lord. He sits with the Lord in his living room, essentially, and fellowships with God, communes with God, face to face. And then it happens also in a sequential chapter, just perhaps the same day, the next day, with Lot. And this time the two angels show up and actually go in, eat, sit down with Lot in his own home, and fellowship with Lot. And I got thinking about that. Well, so it dawned on me, you have two very different kinds of fellowship here, right? I'd like to title this message, Fellowship of Different Sorts. And in Genesis 18, here you have Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Hebrews, the father of the Israel of the nation of Israel, also a father of our faith as well. Now, he's not a sinlessly perfect man by any stretch. He messed up twice in lying about who Sarai really was for him, right? He wound up taking Lot and his dad with him out of Ur of the Chaldees, so he wasn't perfect there. He furthermore had the Hagar-Ishmael issue that came up, as you well know. Nevertheless, this guy is destined at this point for spiritual greatness. I mean, by the time you get to Genesis 22, he's going to be the friend of God, right? So this guy is headed for some spiritual greatness. He will become the friend of God someday, real quick. This man, Abraham, is a sanctified Christian laboring to do right. Right? And one day outside of his tent, camped in Mamre, near a bubbling spring, three guys show up across the pasture, and he looks up and goes, whoa, who's that? And it was God. God showed up at his tent door, and he pled with him to stay and said, listen, you got to come in. I'll fix you something to eat. Please come in and sit. And he did. And that day on the plain of Mamre in Abraham's tent, Abraham had fellowship with God Almighty. Right? Now, we're called into the fellowship of His Son in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, let me read it to you. I meant to copy this off and print it, but I didn't. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, you know it, I'm sure enough. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, folks, think about the idea that since, you know, what did God create man for? God created man to have fellowship with man. He was accustomed to walking with Adam in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve fell and messed that thing up so that now every man that's been born since then, except for Christ, has been born into a relationship that's at enmity with God, right? So think about God's creation, God's intent, and then after Adam and Eve fell, all these centuries have passed where God has supported man and fed man and gave man his breath. And by far, most of the men that have ever walked across the face of this earth have never had fellowship with God, the God that made them for the purpose of fellowship. And for that matter, most Christians have a very shallow fellowship with God, even though they've been bought with a price and are children of God and have every access to the Father. So think about that and think about Abraham's fellowship with God. And then think further. Let me have you turn real quick. Don't leave Genesis, though. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. You know this passage real well, I'm sure. I know you do. But turn our attention to Genesis 19 for a second. And for Lot, we've talked about Abraham for a minute. Here is Lot. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he delivered just Lot. Now, that's just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, by some of the things that Lot said to those men of Sodom in Genesis 19, I wouldn't have guessed that he was a righteous man. But the Bible says that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So, just Lot, that righteous man, is a saint that has slidden back to walk in concord again with Sodom and the men of Sodom and the world of Sodom. He's got a disastrous deadline that he has to face here, but he is a backslidden saint. And just like the Lord came and sat down in Abraham's tent door with Abraham and had fellowship on the plains of Mamre, so it is that the Lord came and sat down at Lot's dinner table, Genesis chapter 19, verse 3. He goes in and feeds them, actually makes them a feast, and cooks for them and he feeds them. They sat at his table, looked him in the eye across the table, and sat, God sat, and had fellowship with Lot. I've got two men who God, in sequential chapters, came in their homes and sat, looked in their eyes, and had fellowship with them. But it's really different fellowship, don't you think? I mean, I want to talk to you about the fellowship of different sorts. Now, I've got several comparisons here. First of all, think about Abraham. And in thinking about Abraham, think about you. Think about what God created you for. Think about what the Lord saved you for. We have access to the mercy seat anytime. We are able to go in with certainty and surety. And I wonder how your fellowship is with Him. First of all, consider Abraham. Abraham is not a perfect man, sinlessly perfect, but he's a saved sinner, laboring, trying to do right. And I want you to know one day, God shows up in his tent door, and the basis of his fellowship was friendship. I'm talking friendship. By Genesis 22, I know it's a couple chapters yet ahead, Abraham is called then, from there on, the friend of God. Okay, this guy is destined to be God's friend. God showed up to his tent door in Genesis 18 as his friend. Sits down, breaks bread, has fellowship, just pops in, talks about family, talks about various things. Okay? Now look, folks, Abraham had become a pilgrim at God's say-so. Okay? He had left Ur of the Chaldees at God's say-so. Didn't leave perfectly, but left. Abraham had believed God about something impossible. Your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. Right? He had trusted God enough to move when God said move. And for that reason, God considered him his friend. Now, let me remind you of something. John 15. John chapter 15. And again, don't leave Genesis. John 15, verse 14. John 15, 14. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You and I have the remarkable position of having certain promises that, having once been at enmity with God, we are now considered His friends. We are called into friendship through the Lord Jesus Christ. and we're called to fellowship. Folks, our fellowship should be on the basis of friendship. Now, turn your attention here for a second to Lot. Abraham and the Lord sat in Abraham's tent, and they ate, and they conversed, and they spake. They sat down, looked in each other's eyes, and talked. They communed, according to Genesis 18:33. Now, think about Lot. Lot, in Genesis 19, why did the Lord show up on Lot's front door? Well, frankly, it was an obligation. It was one of those scenarios where it was a mission that he had to go on. Frankly, it was not friendship. It was a mission of rescue. God plainly had made certain promises to Abraham and felt that after talking to Abraham, it was required of him to show up and at least show up near Lot to find out if Lot might have 10 righteous folks around him so that he could spare Sodom, right? But the fact of the matter is, he came there, if there weren't 10 righteous folks, even for Abraham's sake, the Lord came there to pull Lot out and deliver Lot from the train coming down the tracks, right? That is, God went and fellowshiped with Abraham because he wanted to, because he was his friend, and because he loved his fellowship. He went to have fellowship with Lot, sit down in Lot's living room, dining room, and ate with him. Out of what? Obligation. It was a rescue mission. Now, folks, what I'm saying with this is saints, Christian people, find fellowship with God, and thank God they do. Sometimes you have to go to a hospital, and God's saints in trouble and sickness find fellowship with God there. They have to go to funeral homes. Sometimes a Christian even winds up in jail for all the wrong reasons. And in jail, God comes and has fellowship with those people, right? After you've made the worst mistake of your life, if you'll get that thing right, the Lord comes to you in your discouragement and will sit down and have fellowship with you. Right? I mean, I'm glad God comes in duress and trouble to have fellowship with me. Correct? However, as good as that is and how that has to be sometimes, what you really want is to have fellowship with God out of friendship. Don't forget the tent door 30 miles from Sodom, out in the middle of nowhere, where God comes by just so He can fellowship with you. What I'm saying with all this, folks, there's two very different kinds of fellowship for a Christian. And one is the right kind, like Abraham, who had God's friendship and God wanted to fellowship with him and he wanted to fellowship with God. On the other hand, you had Lot, who had to be pulled out of the fire. That's not the same kind of fellowship. You understand? You look at something else here. I'd like you to notice also, and maybe I've already covered it a little bit, in Genesis 18, the Lord shows up at Mamre. Why? Because He wanted to. The Lord shows up there, maybe even kind of an awkward situation where He just kind of shows up and Abraham sits and, well, who's that? And, well, it actually is the Lord, and He's just kind of actually like Christ, appears as if He's going to walk past the folks in the boat on the sea, appears like He's going to go on down the road, on the road to Emmaus, kind of fishing for an invitation. Why? Because He really, really wanted to sit down and fellowship with Abraham. Right? Now, notice that Abraham had the same sentiments. Notice verse 3, Abraham jumps out of his skin, basically turns himself inside out to try to make sure that these three men, whom he recognizes as the Lord, to make sure they stay and have fellowship with him. Let me make you food. Sarah, get food. Send a boy to kill a calf. make sure these guys are able to stay around for a while and sit with me and talk with me. Now, God voluntarily wanted fellowship with Abraham. He wanted it. And Abraham wanted fellowship with God. He jumped out of his skin, turned himself inside out to make sure that God stayed and ate and talked to him. Right? Now, I think about that. And just think, if you would, about the possibility of God's desire that if you could put it on a geographical spot, if you were parked out in the middle of somewhere in a tent, reading your Bible and doing what's right, having left Ur of the Chaldees on a pilgrimage, having walked away from Lot under bad circumstances and so on, imagine what it would be, what it would mean for God to show up in a geographical location in hopes that you would notice him and invite him in to have fellowship. Now, I'm not a superbly sentimental guy, but it ought to touch your heart just a little bit to realize that God wants intimate fellowship and friendship with you. You say, oh no, not me. Yes. Yes, you. That's the reason he saved you. That's the reason, part of the reason you still have breath in your nostrils is because he wants fellowship with you. He went out of his way, on his way somewhere else to make sure and make an appearance and stop near Abraham's tent. Abraham, on the other hand, did a very noble thing and turned himself inside out to make sure that God came in, sat down, got a plate of food in his lap, and sat for at least as long as it took him to finish that food to talk to Abraham. It's voluntary, okay? It's not just friendship. It's voluntary. Now think about the sequential scenario in Sodom. The Lord shows up in the gate of Sodom where Lot sits. Again, this is pretty much obligatory. He came to see Sodom to see if it was really bad as he knew it was. And now he feels an obligation. He feels an obligation to Abraham to at least walk past Lot to see what kind of shape he's in, to see if there might be 9 folks besides himself that Lot has affected so that he can actually not destroy Sodom. Right? And let's face it, Lot's part in this was when he saw and understood immediately that this was the Lord, I mean, he turned himself inside out as well. He had to get the Lord off the street now. Lord, you've got to come. You've got to come right now. Get off the street right now. Nobody needs to see you. I've got to get you off the street. You have no idea what happens to folks that stay on the street, right? And so Lot is busy. Again, the Lord shows up out of obligation on a rescue mission in this guy's trouble. The guy doesn't even know he's in trouble. And the guy winds up having to herd and force and shove the Lord and 2 men through the door of his house in hopes that nobody could see. Closes all the shutters, slams the door, throws the bolt in hopes that nobody saw. I'd like you to see here that Abraham's fellowship with God was voluntary. That God's fellowship with him was voluntary. They both wanted it. God's fellowship with Lot was obligatory. And Lot had to cover. Lot had to herd the Lord. I guess what I'm getting at with that, I'm sure it's not quite the same. Do you ever feel obligated to pray? How about to read your Bible? I just finished my Bible this last week. It's always neat to finish. I can't tell you that every day that I read, there were not days that I felt obligated. How good is the fellowship when you start punching a stopwatch and saying, okay, I'm going to pray for 12 minutes, then I got to leave. Got to get my coffee down and got to get in the car and go. How good is the fellowship then? Okay, let me slam through my 4 chapters or 5 chapters or 10 pages or whatever you read a day. Let me slam through there so that I can make my check in my proper box. Right? Abraham's fellowship with God was not forced. God shows up voluntarily. Abraham jumps out of his skin to make sure that God knows he's welcome and he wants him to stay. Lot says, "Oh man, what are you doing here? Come on, we got to go. We got to go right now. We got to get you off the street right now or something bad's going to happen." Okay? That forcing thing doesn't work very well. Now look, folks. If I'm ever in the way of a moving freight train and I'm about to get smashed and I'm in a bad spot, I'm in a dirty place, look, I want the Lord to come rescue me, right? But that's a different kind of fellowship. If I'm in jail for my own foolishness, if I'm in trouble for my own foolishness, and the Lord steps down and allows me to know that He is sitting in the cell with me in my foolishness and so on, and gives me mercy and grace, that's a wonderful thing. But ladies and gentlemen, you need a tent pitched in Mamre. A place that's away. A place that's nowhere near Sodom. A place where He knows He's welcome and you will jump out of your skin to make sure that He knows He's welcome. You need a place. You need a time where you have that kind of fellowship. These are two saved guys. These are two saints. But they have very different fellowship. Right? Look at something else here. I talked about the first motive was friendship, at least for Abraham. It was more obligation, more of a rescue mission for Lot. It was also completely voluntary for Abraham. For Lot, it was a forced, necessary, we got to move right now type deal. Thirdly, I'd like to say that you could say that Abraham's fellowship with God out there on the plains of Mamre was sanctified. Abraham is set apart from Sodom. He may live off about 30 miles from Sodom. He's not interested in going to Sodom. He's not going to Sodom even for supplies. He's sanctified. He's separated apart from Sodom. He's been he separated himself by his pilgrimage. He was willing to leave Ur of the Chaldees at God's word. And so he wants to make sure and keep himself in good position. Does not want to get tied up in another big city somewhere. He is sanctified by his trust and belief in the Lord. He has walked now with God for several years. Fought some battles, made some mistakes, repaired things. He's on the plain of Mamre for a reason. He is not interested in going to Sodom. He is keeping the way of the Lord. Now, Lot, on the other hand, is compromised. Abraham's fellowship is sanctified. Lot's fellowship with the Lord as he walks in through a nasty, litter-strewn, cursing, swearing bunch of people, bunch of folks lying around in the streets and the gutters as he walks into Lot's house. Lot lives in a compromised situation. Not like Abraham. I'm not just talking about the city here. I'm talking about more of moral filth than anything else. So, the Lord comes in and sits down at Lot's table. Bible says there in Genesis 19, verse 3, again, that He actually made those two guys, those two angels, He actually made them a feast. I mean, this is no bologna sandwich meal. He goes in and pulls all the stops to make sure that those men stay at his table and don't venture outside. And I got thinking about that. And so they're sitting talking. I bet it was a very different, very much more uncomfortable conversation. Don't you imagine? They've got to talk over all the yelling and sinful language going on outside. They probably live within sound of one of those tinny barroom piano type things where You have to talk loud just to talk over the melee. It's just this hubbub on the streets. And besides that, they're in the house there, and they have to talk, they have to run a conversation around certain things, around Lot's aspirations, around Lot's ambitions for that city. Lot is trying to be a big man in that city. That's why he's sitting in the gate. The guys later come in and say, this man would be a judge over us. He was running for office. Lot had aspirations. Lot had ambitions in that city. And they couldn't talk about that because that wouldn't have worked. So they had to walk around that. They had to talk around that. They had to talk around Lot's two sullen, unmarried daughters that are sitting there at the table and they're mad they had to come downstairs because they had their other stuff going on upstairs. And now they had to come down here and sit with these two dweebs and eat with the squares, mom and dad. Right? They had to talk around where Lot worked. They had to avoid talking about Lot's associations, whom he worked with, whom his friends were. They had to avoid the topic of all that Lot had not done spiritually. They had to avoid how miserable Mrs. Lot looked in this place. Right? Now, if I ever wind up in a dirty, compromised position, I would like for the Lord to come rescue me. Right? Like I said, if you wind up with your tail end in jail for doing something wrong, I want to know that my God will be there to comfort me. If I ever make some horrific mistake, I would like to know that God would come and sit beside me and give me some comfort, some rest, right? But that's not a fellowship to aspire for. Don't forget the tent set up on the plains of Mamre, a place that's sanctified, a place that's away from everybody, and the Lord comes there because He wants to be there. And you're willing to jump through every hoop you can find just to get Him to stay for a little while. No obligations, not because He feels He has to be there, and not because you feel you have to pray or have to read, but because you want to. You've got to go find Mamre, man. You've got to go find that ground. I know it's pretty tough to keep it real and that warm every day, every single day. That's the ideal. But you need to be able to go somewhere on a fairly regular basis. Set your tent up on Mamre and set in the tent door and have God show up because He wants to be there and because you want Him to be there. These are two very different men. Now, they're both saved, right? They're both righteous men and just men. But they have very different fellowship. And you know why, right? Notice something else real quick. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Notice down in verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, and he says this to Abraham, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, what I wanted you to see there was that actually the Lord did show up out of friendship. The Lord did want a welcome mat from Abraham. The Lord did want fellowship with Abraham. But He also came for a certain reason. He came in the end and actually sat and debated with himself whether he should tell Abraham. But in the end, this fellowship wound up being revelatory, as in revelation, right? God manifested something to Abraham in this fellowship that he wouldn't have otherwise. It's pretty hard to sit in the same presence of the one in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and not learn something. Learn something about prophecy, but learn something about yourself. Learn something about human nature. Learn something about victory. Learn something about defeat. It's hard to get in the presence of the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and not learn something. Guess what? You never graduate. You never get out of school. The Lord never throws you open house party, which signifies that you're all done, because you are never all done. And Abraham learned something that day he would not have learned. My question is your tent pitched in Mamre where the Lord will show up one day of his own volition on the way somewhere else, show up enough for you to notice, get you to invite him in, and in time sit and tell you something that you didn't know? That's important to know. It's revelatory. Now, you could say that his fellowship with Lot was revelatory too, in that he revealed to Lot that if you don't get your kids out of here and yourself, you're going to die tomorrow. Okay? But, hey, look, that's a rescue mission. The Lord rescued me once. Fact is, the Lord rescued me more than once, I'm sure. I've made plenty of mistakes that would sink a ship, sink my ship, since I've been saved. So I would have to admit that He's rescued me more than once. But brethren, some people make it a habit. Some people, just like Lot, set themselves in the middle of a dirty, nasty, compromised place and require of God that He rescue them on a regular basis. That is not the kind of fellowship that Abraham had. God rescued Abraham a couple times. Great. Thank God for it. Thank God for God's rescue. But in the meantime, after that, Abraham set up his tent on Mamre, and God was happy to drop by, and Abraham was thrilled to have him. It's two very different kinds of fellowship. I have one last thing to say, and I guess I'll be short tonight. Look in chapter 19. Chapter 19. Go all the way over to verse 29. 19:29. After Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed, all that. Verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered not Lot, but Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Now, as far as I know, God didn't discover 10 righteous men in Sodom. So He went ahead and destroyed Sodom. But He did Abraham the service of pulling Lot out, Lot and his family, as many as would go, out of the overthrow. Now, you know what I learned from that? I learned from that God is sitting back in Abraham's tent in Mamre and says, okay, I'm going to tell him. Abraham, I'm headed down right now to see Sodom and Gomorrah to see if it's as bad as actually I know it is. But I'm going to go see. And if it is, I'm going to know it. And Abraham goes, oh boy, Lot lives in Sodom. Well, Lord, what happens if there's 50 people, then 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10? He said, well, after all the dickering, after all the being Jewed down, you know, if I find 10 righteous men in Sodom, I won't destroy the town. Didn't find 10. Found just a smaller handful than that. And in that I learned that the Lord's fellowship with Abraham, Abraham's fellowship with the Lord, was profitable. It profited Lot. It got Lot rescued one more time, right? Didn't save Sodom and Gomorrah, good, but it saved Lot. one more time, got Lot one more chance. It affected how God dealt with Sodom. It affected how God dealt with Lot. Apparently, if Abraham had not intervened, apparently the Lord might have been willing to kill Lot in the overthrow as well. Now, with that said, Abraham's fellowship with God, that saint who left Ur of the Chaldees, tries to live in a sanctified place, do right, trust God, believe God. His fellowship with God is profitable. Now, by the same token, the Lord walks into Lot's dining room, sits down at the table in two chairs, gets a couple plates of food, sits and talks to Lot in his own dining room, just like he sat and talked with Abraham in his own dining room. But the tone of the fellowship was very different, right? In fact, while Abraham's fellowship was profitable, he would have to say that Lot's fellowship wasn't very profitable. It brought about, I suppose, a temporary reprieve, one more slightly open-door type chance, but the fact is, the whole thing wound up a train wreck anyway. Abraham sat with God and talked and fellowshipped, and it changed things for Lot. Lot sat and talked with God, and just for a day or so, it changed things around. But Lot's wife still looked back. Lot's older married daughters still didn't go. The two younger married daughters committed abomination in Israel. It was a complete train wreck. Now, you know, folks, like I said, I've done enough to wreck my own ship a couple times, and Lord's come by and sit down beside me with his back up against the stone wall like I was at, and held my hand and fellowshiped with me and let me cry a little bit, that sort of thing, right? I'm glad for that. I really am. But I need to have a different kind of fellowship than a rescue mission, than an obligatory mission whereby God, because I am His Son, must come down into the dirt and the gutter and pick me up and encourage me and try to give me comfort in those situations. I need a fellowship with God on the plains of Mamre, in a tent with a tent flap wide open, looking out the door, waiting for God to show up. That's what I need. These two men are saved, but they have very different fellowship. Right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, thank You tonight for these things, and I pray You'd help us, Lord. We are all responsible for doing all we can to get our hearts in shape and condition to sit and talk, to kneel and pray, to lay on our faces before Thee, and to, as often as possible, pitch our tent in Mamre, leave a tent door wide open, and to be ever watchful at that tent door for the time the Lord might just appear. Father, I speak figuratively, of course. I know we walk by faith and not by sight. Father, I've been in the hospital before. I've been in trouble before. And I, in those hours as a Christian, have also sat and awaited the Lord's appearance and was glad when You came and gave me some comfort and frankly straightened out my mess. I'm glad for that. But Father, I don't just want to be Your rescue project. I don't just want fellowship around failure. I would like to have fellowship like You had with Abraham and he with You, where You went out of Your way just to be with him, and he went out of his way just to make ready for Thee and to make it comfortable for Thee so that You would enjoy being there. Help us, Lord, to have a vision for these things, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 328. 328. lights here for a couple minutes while folks contemplate a little bit these matters. And I don't know how anybody gets out of a sermon on the fellowship with God that without being convicted, I feel like a terrible failure at it. But you need to pitch your tent in memory and not just await the Lord's rescue someplace that's dirty and compromised. You're going to mess up and you're going to fall and you're going to need help up. And that much is true. But for every time that happens, you make sure and roll the clock back. Turn a couple pages back to Genesis 18. And remember there's a man out there on a plane that had his tent pitched in sanctification, ready for God to show up anytime, and recognized him when he did. Dismissed tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll go home. Appreciate your service today and pray for folks on the road trying to get back. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're grateful for your goodness to us, the light you reveal from the Word of God to us. Pray you'd be with those that are struggling with various things. Father, we all are in the middle of a wrestling match right now with one thing or another, some more serious than others, but we're very aware of the perilous times of the last days and of the work of the devil and the world and the flesh all around us. We pray, Father, you'd help us to overcome those things, keep our eyes where they belong, and Father, help us to pitch our tent in memory pretty often. Pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.